Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, a story of universal energy, healing, spiritual communication, transformation, and ways to awaken to our true human and divine potential. I am delighted to welcome Marie Jones, author of Mind Wars, a documentation of how the desire to control the thoughts, behaviors, and actions of others has been a pervasive theme from the dawn of humanity to today. And in learning about the techniques used by cults, religions, political systems, and societal training, and in personal relationships that affect the integrity of the most fundamental unit of our individuality and creative force, our mind, we may still discover ways to resist and remain safe and strong during the new age, this new age of technology, and the future influences that may further erode our personal freedom of free thought. Mind Wars is written by two of the most accomplished research experts on the paranormal, metaphysics, conspiracies, and cutting-edge science, and make startling predictions about the vulnerability of the human mind. Hello, Marie. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Marie, as listeners of Healing From Within are well aware, my guests and I share our experiences and the knowledge that we've gathered as we explore this time and place in linear thinking, using both our five senses and also a sixth sense or a metaphysical view, looking beyond or after the study of matter and energy to realize our greatest potential as spiritual beings having a physical life. In understanding energy, we are able to expand and evolve and develop our innate spiritual gifts and our talents, improving the quality of our personal lives and that of our world communities. In today's episode of Healing From Within, we will explore the chronological history of mind control, from spells or potions and rituals to 21st century cults, drugs, psychic driving, electronic monitoring, and government connections. We are aware that cultures, religions, and political systems often influence thinking that might modify or alter human behavior. And in looking to the past, we may understand certain current behaviors, beliefs, and restrictions, and may be able to create new ideas and views that serve us in a more open and liberated fashion. And that's the hope, to move towards more openness and awareness for personal self-development and health without control by outside influences. Marie, I often ask my guests to think back to their childhood, to remember a person or event that may have been influential in their values and beliefs and the lifestyle that are influencing their work today, as I believe we are the sum total of our experiences and are influenced by all the events that transpire.
Wow, that's a tough one. For me, I've always been sort of a lone wolf. I've always been creative. I've been writing since I was maybe, my mom said, around 18 months. I was talking and writing and, you know, writing words, not books, but I wrote my first book at the age of 5, and but my father was a scientist, so I grew up very heavily influenced by a very creative mother who was very spiritual and a father who was a brilliant scientist, and I had the distinct pleasure of getting to be a part of both of those worlds and see how they were really interconnected. So that has influenced me a lot. But I was one of those rare people, from what I understand and what I'm told, that was just born knowing what I was going to do, what my destiny was, what my path was. And I haven't stopped since. I think
you made a wise choice to pick your parents.
So.
You did, because they gave you the best of both worlds.
I love
science. The universal world of energy, science, spirituality.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's what we all need to really discover, the true integrity and balance of life. So, yes, you were very, very fortunate. Thank you for sharing that. Why did you title the book Mind Wars? Who and what are we at war with over our minds?
I think if people slowed down long enough to actually think about the thoughts that they're thinking, they would be very shocked to find that the vast majority are not their own. Now, whether we're at war with ourselves, which is, you know, very prevalent, other people in our interpersonal relationships, the government, you know, world leaders, religious leaders, the status quo, peer pressure, bosses, what have you, it is part of human nature to want to control the thoughts, actions, and behaviors of others in order to get your own needs met and satisfied. Now, in some cases, that's not done in an evil, sinister way, but in other cases, it is. And so Mind Wars really is all about waking up to the fact that we go through life on autopilot, and very rarely do we stop long enough to think about what we're thinking and where those thoughts originated, if they're empowering us or if they're disempowering us. That's really where this book came from, and for Larry and I, it was an ongoing fascination with, you know, how we are being manipulated by everyone and everything around us, and how we can defend ourselves against it.
Absolutely true. How we can get to our inner source or our soul, wisdom and integrity of our being, because ultimately we want to give out into the world who we are. Personally,
yeah.
We don't want to be repeating or living other people's goals and dreams and being manipulated by people around us just to keep the status quo and
right,
to keep quiet.
Right.
We want to do and relate what you said at the beginning, how you were born knowing who you were and what you would ultimately do in life. And I think we all are. And we get sidetracked along the way by too many belief systems. So let's go to another question. Is mind experimentation just a thing of the past, or is it still going on today? In other words, when I say mind experimentation, I may be saying brainwashing.
Oh, gosh, I think it's ongoing. If we look back at our history, it started, again, I feel like the minute humans started walking on this earth, we were trying to manipulate each other. But if we go back to our ancient times, the use of ritual was very prevalent as a way to control people's behaviors, get them to act, behave a certain way. As time progressed, you know, in more modern times, things like torture were used to do that.
Well, in the Middle Ages, yes.
Exactly.
The Crusades,
that was
the
weapon of
wars.
Control. Yes, uh-huh. That was the weapon of fear and control. In more modern times, we have, you know, government experimentation. And in the 1950s, Project MKUltra was begun, eventually under the auspices of the CIA. And this was a very big, very wieldy, massive program involving over 80 different institutions, from orphanages to, you know, homes for unwed mothers, prisons, college campuses, where psychological experimentation was done, all in the basic name of trying to learn about how our POWs had been brainwashed during the Korean War. What could we learn about it? What could we then use, not just defensively, but I think offensively as well? And that was supposedly ended in the 1970s when it became exposed publicly and Congress held a couple of hearings. And the thing is that we know today, and we interviewed people, and we know that this goes on, there are still experiments done in prisons using drugs, using pharmaceuticals, using different psychological tests and methods and studies, orphanages. I'm not sure how regulated any of that is. I don't think it can be. One of the women that I talked to works in the prison system, and her job is to try to keep on top of that. And, you know, things are often done under the radar. So our government, our military, world governments, other military, you know, leadership, everybody has a vested interest in trying to stay on top of the most cutting-edge technologies now to create super soldiers out on the battlefield, to control the minds of the enemies and keep people under constant surveillance. And those all go hand in hand. So this is definitely ongoing. Well, and we now also have media control to deal with.
I would hope that they would not tell some of the stories they tell, not show some of the destruction that's going on, and not imprint in our children's delicate minds these impressions that will stay with them and create so much fear and get imprinted at a cellular level and eventually can lead to their illness. So, yeah, there's too much being shown in the name of just titillating fear and to sell newspapers, to sell television shows.
And I think it desensitizes us, too. It makes us accept. What really shocks me lately when I watch the news or when I see things online is how accepting we've become of the most horrible things. We've almost gone numb to them. And I think that that's the new method of mind control, is that sort of mass desensitization through the media. And people don't really realize that until they become aware of it. And then it's like you can't not see it. It's everywhere.
Let's get to some in our personal life. Yes, this is being done by governments to have super soldiers and super spies, and this started after World War II and the atomic bomb, and we knew where we were going, and we hoped to stay on top and not be left behind. So that was the motivation for doing these horrible things and waste of money and resources on experiments to people that actually destroyed many lives. But we have to remember the motives for mind control are not only there, but in our personal lives. And you talk about the links between narcissism and mind control and people we are meeting in our everyday life, maybe our work experience, maybe someone in our family who is exhibiting these conditions, which ultimately lead to a great deal of distress for the people.
Absolutely, and because I had experienced narcissistic abuse, and it is psychological torture. And you know, the funny thing is the more that I mention it, the more people come to me and say, oh my God, that happened to me, or I know someone who is practically suicidal from this. This is a form of abuse. It's psychological abuse. It's emotional abuse. Sometimes it even turns into domestic abuse. And we see it not just in our interpersonal relationships with lovers or spouses, but with family members, with children, with parents, with sisters and brothers, also with bosses.
Mm-hmm.
I had an incredibly narcissistic boss that really almost destroyed the lives of the people that worked for her. We all bailed after a while, but it was unbelievably damaging, and nobody was writing about this except in a very small circle. And I thought, this is mind control. People have to know. We have politicians, we have cult leaders, we have religious leaders, we have celebrities that engage in these charismatic tactics, and we all drink the Kool-Aid, so to speak. But once you become aware of it, and this is where awareness is just so key, once you become aware of it, you start to see it. You can step away. You can detach. You can empower yourself by walking away. But it was just so incredibly shocking to us to find out how many people were experiencing this kind of mind control and psychological abuse on a personal level. And
all
they
right,
didn't
so,
even realize it.
So there are many people out there with personality disorders or borderline personality. Some can be called almost sociopaths or psychopaths.
Exactly,
and
yes.
Dealing with them, because this is a form of mental illness and behavioral disorders. And it's very hard to correct these problems. But we have to be aware of what we're dealing with, because the links between narcissism and mind control are many. And I'm going to say
it could lead to domestic abuse. Absolutely. Also, it's responsible for the prevalence of cults, which, believe it or not, are still out there and still running strong. They just fly a lot more under the radar nowadays to avoid government interference. But cult leaders are the most charismatic narcissists that there are. And they have mastered the ability to figure out how to get you to become their emotional, psychological slave, sometimes even a physical sex object or what have you, depending on the cult. Mm-hmm.
So narcissists actually attempt to control others in order to enhance their own sense of power and entitlement and to preserve their own image at all costs, often devaluating others to increase their own sense of self-worth, which they don't have. They don't have
you,
this sense
and when you
of
understand
confidence. But they're good manipulators. They're excellent.
They are.
Yeah.
But you can have a little, you know, once you understand the techniques that they're using, you can, you know, again, you can start to protect yourself. And once you understand why they're doing it, you can have a little bit of compassion for them. I still wouldn't want them in my life, but I can
understand.
And I can have that compassion and, you know, but you still want to protect yourself ultimately and your children.
You know,
if you have children.
Their behavior is really not so different from tyrants and dictators who do use torture, abuse, and even widespread slaughter to get the results that they desire. So these people will think nothing of doing anything to get what it is that they think they're entitled to. And they will sabotage others. And so I thought that part of the book was excellent. And everyone should read that because I'm sure there's nobody who's not been exposed to this type of behavior. And you're right. Once you have the tools to see it, you can protect yourself and distance yourself from that type
right.
of energy. Now,
think it also makes you more aware of how it's happening on a grander scale, where the government or you know your politicians might be using some of those same techniques on the mass population.
Absolutely. So let's go on to what is a cult and how are cults a method and means of controlling people's minds and behaviors? We will find it similar to what we just described.
Exactly. I think a cult is an organized group of people who become, you know, charmed by a narcissist. But basically a cult is a group of people. It can that come together. It can be over a religious ideology, a sociological ideology, some type of object of devotion. They sort of create a family that is centered around a particular leader. Sometimes it can be two leaders. In the case of here in San Diego, we had the Heaven's Gate cult, which was run by Tien Do, a couple, a man and a woman. So basically what cults do is they use different psychological methods to bring members in. They use one of the key things that they do is called intermittent reinforcement, and that means that at first they make you feel very welcome, very loved, very much a part of the family. We love you. You're going to be so welcome here. This is just going to become your tribe. We're doing good things here. That's the positive reinforcement. Once you're sucked in, they start in with the abuse, the negative reinforcement. But they do it intermittently.
Yes, it can be things like shaming or guilting or yelling or
abusive
language.
Well, we want all your money.
But by that time, you're confused. So the person is put into a state of anxiety and confusion because they really want what they started with.
That
positive. They want that positive reinforcement that they started in the group. And they think they'll be able to get it back. And
if they obey, right?
Yes.
If they obey and if they're good and they behave perfectly. And it's funny because before we wrote the book, I would have thought that negative reinforcement would be the worst thing to deal with. You're just constantly being shamed and abused. But how masterful is it that these people know that if they throw you crumbs now and then of things that make you feel good, it totally disrupts your brain chemicals. You are constantly craving those crumbs, that good behavior, that positive reinforcement, to the point where you will accept the most abusive behavior intermittently. And that was just really shocking to me.
You know, in an office I worked in, I saw a situation going on like this, but it was, of course, with the narcissist. But the same technique was being used and had established a pattern. And no matter what this person did, one person stood up for this other person because they had been so controlled. Eventually, other people began to see the pattern and started to stand up. And eventually, this person could no longer get away with doing what they were doing. But there was one person. And I was always thinking, oh, how weak that person was to be brought into that and not see what was going on. I couldn't understand how the person couldn't see it. But you wrote, do not think that only stupid, weak, or desperate people become victims of this kind of manipulation. The easiest victims are empathic, compassionate people of
sensitive levels
of intellect.
So, intelligence has so little to do with it.
I couldn't understand that.
I know, it shocked me too, and then I thought about it. I thought, wait a minute, I've experienced this, and I'm pretty smart.
but
it is true. I'm very sensitive. I'm empathic. I have a huge heart. I want to please people. I want to make them happy. Codependency, hello. So they know who to target.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter whether you're dumb or intelligent. That's not what they're going for. What they're going for are your emotional needs and reactions and desires, really, more than the intellect.
Yeah, you say children are used in mind control experiments and ritual abuse in cults like this because of that, because they have such big open hearts. Yeah, and it's so easy to do that.
Easy
to do it to a person, but not easy for that person to escape the patterns that will be imprinted on them for so very long because they're not seeing it the way you and I are talking about it here. We're helping our listeners to see it so that they can and read your book so that they can start to see it more fully and become aware of when it's operating in their life and the tools. You give them the tools to resist some of this.
You have to become aware, or you have to have somebody that cares about you enough to get you out of that dangerous situation and work with you to literally shift your consciousness, shift your perception away from being immersed in that world to realizing, oh my gosh, that was just the most damaging world I could have been in. And some people never make it out. Some do, and they're the lucky ones.
Yes. And we want people to be lucky and happy and healthy in their life and in their relationships with people and to recognize these patterns that they're dealing with so that they can, as you said earlier, protect themselves and be with people who are more empowering because you'll be healthier and happier if you avoid these kinds of situations. What is it that you hope readers take away after reading Mind Games?
I want people to just wake up to not only what's happening on a large scale level, because you do have to be aware of what your government is doing and how much you are being watched and attempted to be controlled, but really, again, going back to the personal, how you can really start with your own thoughts, how much more freedom and authenticity you can have when you start to realize, hey, wait a minute, these are not my beliefs, these are not my thoughts, I'm being manipulated here, I need to stand up for myself, not to hurt anybody, but to protect me. And I think this is all about, really, self-preservation and living authentically instead of 90% of who you are is the constructs of someone else's beliefs.
Yes, and in your book you wrote, the brain is the final frontier, and if we wish to create heaven on earth and the best scenario for life and its participants, we must use our brains wisely and lovingly. As Deepak Chopra, renowned Indian-American physician and author of numerous best-selling books about quantum physics, healing, intention, and spirituality, wrote in 5 Steps to Harness the Power of Intention. The classic Vedic text declares, you are what your deepest desire is. As your desire is, so is your intention. As your intention is, so is your will. As your will is, so is your deed. As your deed is, so is your destiny. The truth is, we are everything we are. We think about all our lives, an accumulation of our thoughts and intentions, and make darn sure they are in alignment with who we are and want to be, and not what some external person, place, or thing tells us we should be. So resist those who would limit your possibilities for your best life, and seek out those who would enhance your true nature and capacity to love. And that's what you've been saying throughout the show.
Absolutely.
This is what we want our listeners to know. Yes, we are who we want to be and who we allow our mind and intentions to put out into the world. I want to thank you, Marie Jones, for sharing a look at the way we may begin to look at any influence that may limit our creative, imaginative expressions of the mind and heart and the freedom of our being, so we can reclaim our personal destiny and world experience in an unlimited, unrestricted fashion, moving past the fear or paranoia of society or other individuals around us, and create a world of open-mindedness and freedom for our innermost thoughts. So once again, we're going to pay attention to what's really our thoughts and our authentic self, and we're going to begin to not buy into the thoughts and patterns of other people that are projected by the media, the government, religion, or any other influence if it does not feel right within us to align to those beliefs. For more information on social engineering and mind control systems shaping what we think, go to mariedjones.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, it becomes clear once again that our most precious gift, our own thoughts and soul essence, need to reestablish a connection to the past and also to this present moment in order to reclaim our destiny to be ever-expanding entities of love and compassion. And we can only do this by becoming aware of the many belief systems and factors in our society that may alter this ability to learn and discern what is our destiny and birthright, to be creative souls who are here to gather experiences and insights into the world of energy and also our physical realities for refining our thinking and remembering our true nature to live in peace, harmony, and balance with ourselves, our fellow citizens, the world and universe, always respecting the destiny and journey of each human being. Marie wrote, "But what it comes down to is this. The mind is a receptacle as well as a transmitter. It receives as well as broadcasts. Controlling what we allow our minds to receive as well as broadcast keeps out a good deal of information and influence that others around us, from individual to entities like the government and corporations, would love to instead fill our minds with. The basis of the positive thinking movement really comes down to putting better data into the data brain, depositing good energy into the energy bank, and filling the mind with higher thoughts rather than those that depress, create anxiety, fear, and doubt, or diminish our strength, physical and emotional. Marie and I ask you to allow your being to be open to more light energy and happiness and influence your health and that of the world with goodwill and the success that an open and loving mind and heart invites us to encourage. Protect and encourage the best in your mind and share that with others. That is the way to improve life and discourage sabotage or influence by those who might try to undermine the best in us. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and I invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to read and hear more about higher consciousness, awareness, energy healing, spiritual communication, science, and the ways to enhance our personal development and improve the world condition. All shows may be heard there as well as on DreamVision7Radio.com and webtalkradio.net. Thank you for listening.